door to my name. I've had friends that walked away, and I've even lost myself a time or two. There were bridges crossed and burned, but through all the wreckage I have learned, there is one thing that I can never lose. If I got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I could never hide, in a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I've got it all. I've seen weakness turn to strength, I've seen failures met with grace, and it's not from what I've done, it's Christ in me. A miracle I can't explain. Oh, he's given me his name. I'm the richest one that I could ever be. If I got Jesus, I got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I could never hide, in a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I got it all. Someday that trumpet's gonna sound, and the King of Heaven will ride upon the clouds coming down. I'll hit my knees, a wood then sings my soul. I'm going home. If I got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I could never hide, and a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I got it all. If I got Jesus, I got it all.
If I can get you to stand your feet with me, we're going to make much of Jesus today. Thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord. Is Jesus worthy of your song today? Is he worthy of your testimony today? If you've got Jesus, you do have it all.
Morning. We're just going to do a medley this morning. It includes Through It All, and then we'll go into How Great Is Our God. I'm sorry. And then we'll go, yes, into How Great Is Our God, and then How Great Thou Art. But before we sing that this morning, I just want to say, yesterday, my brothers, who is in heaven, his father-in-law, Brother Lamar Rackley, went to see our precious Savior. And it's very bittersweet because my precious niece, who is going to give birth to his first great-grandson on Thursday, is going to have that precious baby without him here. But I saw all three of them yesterday, saw Miss Rackley last week, and even though it's sad for us down here, when I think of these lyrics of I've been through many tears and sorrows, there are none of those in heaven today. And he is with his precious Savior, and I have seen him, I can't tell you how many times, worshiping his Savior. And today, he's well, he's whole, he is without that horrible glioblastoma regrowing on his brain. And I'm just thankful for a Savior that can heal everything. And it's sad for us down here today. Please be in prayer for that family. It is sad for them today, but Brother Tim Rackley, his son, they are planning a precious homegoing for him. And let's just worship him today. He is so worthy. No matter how loud we raise our voice today, we could raise it even louder because he is so, so, so very worthy. Let's be happy today in the house of the Lord for him.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I've felt so all alone. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong.
Through it all, let's sing. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all,
solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do.
Everybody, through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all,
let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And I will see how great is our God! How great is our God! God, then sings my soul.
sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Ushers to come on down. We're about to do the offering. Thank you for being here today again. A couple announcements. I want to give a shout out to our young people this week. Our young people spent 4 hours working in a food bank, and they did it with joy, and I'm so grateful for that. And then also the very next day, they went and served at a widow's home, and so I appreciate them. Give a young person a hug today. This morning, we welcome Reverend Brian Haney, who will be preaching in our service today. You're a big shot. You brought a bunch of people with you. We're glad that you're here today. We've heard great things about you. We loved Brother Garland Odom, didn't we? Absolutely loved him, and we heard you were his associate, so we're honored that you're here today. Tonight, remember, at 5 p.m., we have our service downstairs. Brother Dwayne Swan will be continuing his series on the purpose of the church. It's always a great time of fellowship and a great Bible study, and I do hope that you will come. Lastly, I'll say that next Sunday night, they're going to do Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Fundraiser. The theme will be Christmas in July. They're going to have special music by the Pathfinders from Hiram and a great meal for you to enjoy. There's a sign-up sheet down here by the American flag picture there. And so with that, I'll say... CLU. Brother Don, will you pray for us today?
There is none. sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. even though my spirit's low, and it seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith and can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory. I've just got to tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're going to lose this battle tonight. Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I turn around and I give up too, cause I do believe you're bound to lose. I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Cause remember, you can't cross the
enjoy that good singing. Say amen. How many of you are glad you're saved? Raise your right hand. How many of you are enjoying the journey? Raise your left hand. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, we've had some great singing this morning. I am just enjoying the journey. I felt like getting Gracie and this other young lady, get them all back up here and sing it all over again. I have enjoyed it. It's good to be at Calvary Baptist. I'm Brother Brian Haney. I am a nobody, and I do know somebody. Can I get a witness this morning? Come on, y'all ain't a bunch of dead Baptists, are you? All right, good to have all of you here, and good to meet my brother, Brother Brian, over there. And I said, man, if you sing in that choir, you got to be in shape. Have you seen them doors right there? I mean, you got to hold it in and get out there. But it's good to have my family, my beautiful wife, Jody, and my beautiful daughters, Allison and Emily. Would y'all stand up? It's good to have them here with us today. And I've got a son. He's up in Pigeon Forge on a college and career retreat. And that reminds me, this is one of the greatest weeks of the year. How many of y'all have heard of a Rise Youth Conference? C.T. Townsend and Heath Williams and all them. What time's the bus leaving in the morning? Because I'd like to get on and go with y'all. We've been many, many years. And can you imagine a camp that started out with about 200 kids, and now there's 7,500 teenagers that are meeting there at the LaConte Center in Pigeon Forge, and I've been there, and it is wonderful. I want us to pray for that conference this morning before we begin, and I want us to pray for Lamar Rackley's family. I served with him for 8 years, and I love him dearly, and I sent him texts. I tried to call him this week, and someone told me that he was being released to Tranquility early yesterday, so I texted my pastor, and my heart was heavy. I was working yesterday, and I just thanked him for being a good soldier of the cross. I came here one time and when he preached for Brother Snyder Turner. But I want us to pray for the Rackley family, and let's pray for the Arise Youth Conference. Can we do that? Let's stand and go into the presence of Almighty God. And while I'm praying, in just a minute, I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, thank you for the worship we've experienced this morning. Thank you for the songs of Zion that reminds us there is a king and there is a fountain. And Lord, that fountain has been opened up, and I pray that it would be dispersed this morning. The riches of God's grace would be extended to this generation one more Sunday. How we pray for the Lamar Rackley family. You know how dear and near he is to me. And I pray, God, that he's rejoicing in heaven. He's finally made it to that place that we've preached about and we've sang about and we've prayed about. And Father, I'm glad that his faith has been made sight. I pray for his dear wife, Miss Diane. Pray you'd bless her and comfort her and his boys, Tim and Brian, and his daughter Scarlett. I pray that you'd comfort that family, those grandchildren, in the passing of their great granddad and father, Lamar Rackley. I pray for a Rise Youth Conference. Lord, I can hear the thunder of many feet headed towards Tennessee as they get ready to worship the King of all kings. And I pray the chariots of glory are headed towards that little place where many will be assembled, and some are coming just because they were made to. But I pray the Holy Ghost would open hearts and open blind eyes and save the lost. Send revival this week to that meeting, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just remain standing. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. How many are there? Say amen. Well, it's in the New Testament. Amen. Just turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then go on down to Acts and the book of Romans. 1 Corinthians is where I'm going to be. I prayed and struggled, wrestled with God of what to preach. And this is what God has put in my heart for you this day. I'm going to preach on the cross of Christ is still the answer. The answer is still the cross. That is the message for today. Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Say amen. Amen. All right. Look at verse number 10. Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul baptized, or Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." I like preaching, don't you? I mean, I just love preaching. I wish somebody would help me this morning. We'll get done a lot faster. Amen. He said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. How many of you understand that not everybody's engaged in preaching? You want to know why? Because preaching has never entered into their heart. But when you get saved and your life gets transformed, I'm telling you, somebody moves in on the inside, and preaching is wonderful. Nothing greater than preaching. And Paul said in verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." I want to preach on this thought this morning. The answer is still the cross. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, we come again in that high and holy name of Jesus. That name that was given unto us whereby we must be saved. I pray this morning that as we yield our members unto you, thank you for the sweet Spirit of God that's visited this place already. I pray the Holy Ghost would load our lips and fire the gospel into the heart of some hardened sinner. May their eyes be opened and their ears be opened and their heart receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save and change their life forever. I pray for this church as they seek a shepherd to lead them. May they turn their eyes upon the great shepherd. May they realize that you're God and you're God alone and you're able to raise up and do for them what they cannot do for themselves. I pray that you would feed your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. Let me just say, by way of introduction, I'm not here to interview. I'm not here to candidate. I'm here to preach this morning to the Calvary Baptist Church. Can I get an amen out there? Let me just remind you, church, that I know that you're living in some days of uncertainty, and you're just wondering what's going to happen. You know, every church is just one preacher away from apostasy. They're just one preacher away from shutting the doors. They're just one Sunday away from the Spirit of God saying, I am leaving, and writing Ichabod on that place. One of the greatest churches that I have ever been a part of was the Grace Baptist Church at 587 Landers Drive in Mapleton, Georgia. Miss Cassandra used to be a member. I was a member there too. It was the place that God visited in a time of sorrow in my life. It was the place that God breathed on and blessed. They moved across town and they sold, and now that place is sitting and weeds are growing in the parking lot. But I want you to know the God that I serve is not dead. The God that I serve has not forgotten how to bless and revive and send revival to a generation. You're living in some exciting days. These are not in my notes, but I feel like I need to remind you this morning. You're living in some exciting days. It's not up to these deacons or the youth pastor to pick the next man of God. But I'll tell you, there's a God in heaven who searches the reins of the heart, and God knows how to find his shepherd to bring unto this flock. You've got what it takes for the rise of a mighty church. How many of y'all believe that? Say amen right there. I want to preach on the cross this morning. I love to read about the great men of God. I read of J. Wilbur Chapman. He was a mighty man of God. I love to study those great men. And J. Wilbur Chapman was used mightily, like C.T. Townsend, to preach across this nation and revival would spread. You know what we need today? We need the fire of revival to start right here in Powder Springs, Georgia, and begin to spread across this little city and across this town, across this nation. How many believe God can? Say amen. J. Wilbur Chapman was preaching in revivals, and God led him to step out of evangelism and take a church and to begin to pastor. He was scheduled to preach this great revival meeting. He regrettingly sat down and wrote a note to that pastor and said, Pastor, I'm sorry, but I will not be able to make the revival meeting this year. God has told me to take a church and pastor. That pastor wrote back, Sir, I am so sorry that you won't be here. But I want you to know we have invested in this meeting. We've not only invested money, we've invested time in prayer. And we believe that the time is ripe for revival. Would you please send someone? J. Wilbur Chapman wrote back and said, I will send my assistant. When J. Wilbur Chapman turned to his assistant reluctantly said, I cannot go and preach this great meeting. I have no sermons. J. Wilbur Chapman gave this young preacher 8 sermons, and he said, Son, these are sermons on the cross. You go and you preach what I've given you, and you ask the Holy Ghost to help you. That young man's name was Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday began preaching those messages on the cross. And do you know what happened? It wasn't a name that they knew, but it was a name they would never forget, because he came and began lifting up that cross of Calvary, and sinners began to get saved, and a revival began to spread like never before. You asked me about revival. I prayed for revival for many years. I'm a candidate for revival. I've seen God move in the midst of services. I've seen God move in the midst of hard and trying times. You ask me, and I'll tell you. tell you there's a God in heaven who I believe is interested in these last days that you and I are living in to do something great before the trumpet sounds. We're living in days of darkness and difficulty. We're living in days where churches are drying up and some are dying. I could carry you to churches that I've preached in here locally and down the road. Last week I preached in a church where the average age was 75 and above. The youngest person besides the pastor, who was 61, was a little girl, maybe 4 or 5 years old, who had come with her great-grandparents. Thank God for grandparents who carry their grandchildren to church. How else are they going to be saved? Listen, I'm telling you, churches are dying and they're drying up. Y'all stay with me now. Churches are dying and they're drying up, and they're saying, well, maybe we need a new preacher. I'm selling cars down there at Mike Bell Chevrolet. Never dreamed in all my life I would do this. First of the year, I had some people, they said, wait, you're a preacher? I said, yeah. They said, we just ran our preacher off. You should come and preach for us. I said, hold it right there. What do you mean you just ran your preacher off? They said, oh, he was killing it. I said, now, hold on just a minute. Was he killing it, or was you killing it, or was the devil killing it? And they said, well, and they began to expose and to begin to tell. Well, I went and preached to that place, and they're struggling. And I'm telling you, preachers, they're saying, churches are saying, do we need a new preacher? Maybe we need a new program, or maybe we need a new singers. And boy, if we get new singers, man, I'm telling you, no, listen, the message has not changed. As that dear brother will preach tonight, the purpose of the church is to lift up Jesus Christ. It's the preaching of the cross. I'm excited to preach to you this morning. In the eyes of this world, the cross is the most hated message. But in the ears of the church, the cross has a wondrous attraction for me. The preaching of the cross, it marks the spot where the Son of God died for the sins of the world. The cross marks the spot where the amazing grace of God shined as bright as it could ever be on the cross of Calvary, when God the Son died and shed His blood for the forgiveness of sins. Can you imagine you daddies that have sons saying, I'd give my son to die for the sins of a nation? Can you daddies imagine giving your son to be the sacrifice for sin? Can you see Abraham when God said, take now thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to where I will send thee, and offer him there for a sacrifice? Can you see Abraham and Isaac as they're headed up that mountain? Isaac's loaded down with that wood. Isaac's carrying that wood, and he asked that eternal question, Dad, here's the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? And Abraham held back tears, and he said, God will provide himself a lamb. The cross in which I preach to you this morning is the cross where the Lamb of God came and died and tasted death for every man. I want to preach on that cross this morning. Vance Havner said, we need men of the cross preaching the message of the cross, bearing the marks of the cross. Oswald Chambers said, all of heaven is interested in the cross of Christ because all of hell is terribly afraid of it. A.W. Tozier said, the old cross slew men, but this new modern cross, it entertains men. The old cross condemns men, but the new cross amuses men. I know what he's trying to say. I've been in churches that are large, and I'm telling you, they've got orchestras and they've got mega ministries, but there's no ounce of preaching inside of that place. You turn loose a preacher, and I'm telling you, it'll thin that crowd out. It's not a crowd that we're trying to build, but it's a holy church for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen right there? It's the cross that makes a difference in men's life. And that cross of Christ, it was the theme of Paul's ministry. When Paul wrote to those Corinthian believers, he said this, we preach Christ crucified. Paul reminded them his first visit to them. Here's what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, I'm preaching on the cross. It's the theme in God's infallible book. The cross is that scarlet thread that runs through Genesis, through Exodus, through Leviticus. It runs all the way down through the Bible. That cross is the central theme in this Bible. If we get away from the cross, we have gotten away from everything. That great preacher of yesteryear, Charles Spurgeon, said, "We take our text and we make a beeline towards the cross of Christ." I preached in a church where I was pastor for a little while, and they said the former pastor, all he did was preach the gospel. I said, "Is there anything greater than preaching the gospel, to know that Christ loved us enough to die for our sins, shed his blood, be buried and rise again the third day?" I want you to think about the cross being central at Calvary. Christ's position was not coincidental, but it was divinely arranged. For the Christ ever divides as the two thieves who hung on the sides of Christ. One was an unbeliever, while the other became a believer. He said, "If you really be the Son of God, why don't you come down and save us?" And the other one said, "Hey, watch your mouth. Do you not know who he is?" And he said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus looked at that dying thief and he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I want to tell you, preaching is marvelous and preaching is mighty. Oh, that God would raise up a nation of young men to preach the gospel. You say, "Preacher, America's divided." I almost preached a Stars and Stripes Sunday message today. I feel patriotic in my veins. This country has talked about 250 years. Last week, the President of the United States, he had World War II veterans who got up and saluted the flag. Wouldn't it have been something, church, if he'd have said, I need Brother Haney to come up here and lead us in a word of prayer, because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the good, amazing grace of God. Wouldn't it be something? He said, "I've got an old Baptist preacher. He's a nobody, but I want him to say a word, just preach." Wouldn't it be something if he said, "There's a young man that's pastoring in Augusta, Georgia, Augusta, South Carolina. His name's C.T. Townsend." Wouldn't that have been something? He said, "I want him to address this crowd right here." We've seen revival break out. I'm telling you, the cross is central in ministry, in history, in prophecy, and the cross will be central when we get to heaven in glory. Look in your Bible at verse number 11. Paul began to see trouble brewing down at the church at Corinth. They were divided over whose camp they were in. Some said, "Well, I like Paul. He's my preacher. If he can't do it, no one can." Some others said, "Well, I'm of Apollos." Boy, I'm telling you, Apollos, he can rear back and preach. And others said, "Well, I'm of Peter." And some said, "Well, I'm of Christ." Let me just tell you, if anything breaks out, I'm on Jesus' side. I need a witness right there. I appreciate Brother Brian and Brother Ceylon and all the rest of these men, but I'm telling you, I'm on Jesus' side. Amen. He's the one who loved me when no one else loved me, the one who gave his life for me. And Paul said, "What is it that you're divided?" Listen, I'm telling you, churches, he began to deal with their division and their trouble. And do you know that churches deal with division or trouble one of two ways? They either sweep it under the rug, and you know what happens when you sweep trouble under the rug? It gets bigger and bigger. Down on the mission field, Lord, we've seen it. We've gone into these places of obscurity, and they're fighting. And the pastor always says, "Will you pray? And I don't know what to do about this." Matthew 18 has the answer right there. If you've been offended by your brother, go to your brother and say, "Hey, I've got a problem, and we need to work it out." If he won't hear you, take with you one of the deacons and say, "Hey, we need to work this thing out, all right?" And if they still won't do it, you bring them before the church and say, "Church, here's a rebel. We've tried to get right." Listen, Paul said, you either deal with it or you sweep it under the rug. And Paul said, "It is not about me. It's not about Apollos. It's not about Peter. It's about the lovely Lamb of God. His name is Jesus." He said it wasn't Peter or Apollos that came down from heaven and rescued us from a sinner's hell, but it was Jesus. The church at Corinth had lost their focus. And instead of preaching down at the church house, there was division, and Paul dealt with the problem. And you know what Paul did? He quickly turned them back to the real issue, and that is the preaching of the cross. Can I give you three things? And we're going to the barbecue house. Amen. My favorite place in the world is right at the top of that hill, Johnny's Barbecue. When I was a kid, I lived right up the street here. When we got married, I lived right down the street here off of Forest Hills. And, buddy, we wore out Johnny's barbecue. I believe it'll be some Johnny's barbecue in heaven. I hope so. Anyway, that is great. I love it. And I do know they're closed on Sunday. But I want you to notice three things about Paul's preaching. Number one, notice the style of Paul's preaching. How many understand that preachers have different styles? I'm not for that dead, dry, quiet preaching or teaching. I need somebody that's got a little life inside of them that just has been alone with God. They've been in their prayer closet and they fought through the disappointment and the darkness of today. And they've got a hold of heaven, and heaven has invaded their soul, and heaven has become real to them. And the God who saved them, the God who created heaven and earth, the God who came walking in the midst of the darkness, the God who said, "Let there be light," and when there was darkness, the God who came and spoke this world into existence. Can I tell you, I prefer preaching that is exciting, preaching that is loud. Some of y'all are like, tone it down just a little bit. But listen, I'm telling you, I need somebody that's been in touch with heaven. I want you to see that preaching is the vehicle that God chose to rescue the souls of dying men. The style of Paul's preaching. And notice what Paul said in verse 23. He said, "We preach." Now, for you Bible scholars, in the Greek, that word is kerusso. It means the act of public proclamation. Can you imagine a preacher standing on the roadside saying, "Excuse me, may I have your attention?" That's not how it goes. I'm telling you, God calls a preacher. God will call a preacher that's got a set of lungs to lift up and begin to preach. It means the act of public proclamation. Preaching was the method that God chose to reach sinful men who were headed straight to hell. How else is God going to rescue sinners who are dying and they're going to hell? God chose the act of preaching. Preaching is lifting up your voice like a trumpet. Tom Farrell, that great evangelist that preached for years at the Wild Summer Camp, he said, "Preaching is my lips filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ." Have you ever been in a service where that man of God began to preach? And I'm telling you, it was like a machine gun shooting everybody down. I'll never forget, as a lost man, when that preacher over at Grace Baptist Church began to preach, I looked at my mother and said, "Have you told that preacher what I've been doing?" She said, "Hush, boy, God knows what you've been doing." When that preacher gets tanked up and yoked up with heaven, and God begins to send out a warning that souls are lost and dying and going to hell, Paul said, "Preaching is God's divine alarm clock to wake up sinners who are staggering towards the devil's hell." Do you know that preaching is God's rescue ambulance that drives the gospel head on into the hearts of sinful men? What else is designed to wake up a dead man who's lost in sin? When God's word is preached and preaching is on fire, it's like shock pedals. Have y'all ever seen the paramedics? When I was running from God to preach, I said, "Lord, I'll be a fireman. I'll be a paramedic and I'll rescue lives." God said, "That's not enough." You ever watch those paramedics? When somebody's dead, they take those shock paddles and they lay them on them and say, "Clear." Bump, bump. And I'm telling you, them shock paddles, that's what preaching is. Preaching is God's divine emergency rescue vehicle designed to reach the heart of lost sinners. His name was Santos. And we were on a mission trip down in Nicaragua. And we were in Nicaragua just a few years ago. And every day we'd go out into the villages, invite people to come to the little town square. There in Jinotepe, Nicaragua, they had a little town square. Can I paint for you a picture? They had a big Roman Catholic church with a bunch of dead statues, a bunch of dust, a bunch of decay, and it just needed a whole good wash job. Needed somebody to get down there and clean it up real good and put a preacher in that place. Over here was a little flea market where they sold everything from flip-flops to homemade cookware, and I'm telling you, it was homemade. Over here, somebody might be selling some wood for their little wooden stoves, for their wooden huts. Over here, they might have been selling hot dogs or something to eat, something very simple. Over here, they had chickens in a coop, and they had pigs where you could come by and say, "I'll buy that one or buy that cow." They had raw meat hanging there in the market, and all those little villages would come into the city. and we'd sing and we'd testify and we'd say, "We're here to tell you the good news of the gospel." One night they said, "Beware, Santos is in town." We said, "Who is Santos?" They said, "He's a hitman. He's a killer for the drug cartel." I said, "Which one is he?" And they pointed him out. He was in the back. He had moved through the crowd very mysteriously. The first night he came, we didn't know he was there. The second night, we had eyes on him. We didn't know if he was getting ready to send us to heaven or what. The third night, we began noticing he is getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer. The fourth night we preached there in the city of Jinotepe, we preached the cross of Christ, and I'll never forget it. Santos, who we had already been warned about, every night people would come and they'd give themselves to Jesus. They'd cry out and ask God to save them from a devil's hell. We saw lives changed by his glorious gospel. That fourth night, Santos started coming a little closer. We gave the invitation. And I said, "If you're here tonight, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been or who you are. There is a fountain filled with blood, and Jesus can wash away your sins." And I noticed he had tears streaming off that hardened face. You talk about the look of a killer. And he came forward and he bowed, and I got to lead Santos to Jesus Christ. He hugged me for what seemed like eternity. I felt a hard metal thing in his back, and I was very cautious. He hugged me, and he turned around in the crowd. There was a whisper like, "Can you believe?" It was like Al Capone getting saved. I'm telling you, the preaching is what quickened and woke up his heart. He began to testify. He said, "Y'all know me. I've done bad things." He said, "I've hurt many of you. I've done bad things. But I want to declare to you that this Jesus whom they preach has cleansed me of my sins and changed my life." Isn't that great? That's what preaching will do. It'll build a church when churches are struggling. Preaching will put backbone into the congregation when the devil comes knocking. They've got backbone, and they've been preached to, and they realize that there is a God who's greater than them. It's God's divine alarm clock. Preaching was Paul's style. It was ordained by God. It commenced in the Old Testament by the patriarchs. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It continued in the Old Testament with the prophets. Isaiah preached to a backslid nation, "Come now. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." We need some Isaiahs to lift up their voice in this wicked and cruel generation. I promise you, sin is still dirty. It's still filthy and polluted. And one of the reasons the shout has died out in the local independent church is because sin has filled the ranks. And the only thing that's going to get it out is not teaching, it's not singing, but I'm telling you, it's preaching that'll root out sin and drive men and women to that fountain of blood. It was continued in the Old Testament. Jeremiah said, "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." Preaching is continuing in this day of grace. Jesus commanded the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was going through Facebook yesterday. We had one of them slow days at the dealership, usually on Saturday. Man, they jump in the boat like fish. They're there to buy cars. Lord, we had every tire kicker in town. They just wanted to come and look, and I say, "Good, that's how it starts." Amen. They say, "Oh, we're not here to buy, we're just looking." And I thought, "That's what you think." Amen. We're going to try to get you in a car or a truck of your pleasing. But it was tough yesterday. And I come across a video of me down in Havana, Cuba, how that God had set my heart on through preaching. I'm telling you, it's exciting. Paul's style of preaching, he said, "Christ sent me not to baptize. I'm not a baptizer, I'm a preacher." I'm telling you, it's not the water that you need, it's that bloody cross that changes lives forever. It's that cross that made a difference in little Gracie's life. It's the cross that made a difference in that girl's life. I don't know your name, but I'm telling you, you got Jesus on the inside. I'm telling you, it's the cross that makes a difference. Paul's style of preaching was ordained of God, but it was orchestrated by God. Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Paul knew that preaching was the vehicle designed to drive the gospel like a freight train into the heart of sinners. I thought about this missionary, Don Rich. It reminded me of Don Richardson. He pastored the Corinth Baptist Church. Maybe you know him? I'm not sure. Over on the other side of Atlanta, Don Richards was a great man of God, just an old country boy that God saved by his marvelous grace. Don Richards came and preached in a meeting for us up in North Georgia. And Don told about how that he had a praying mama. He said, "Me and my brother," I believe his name was Chuck, he said, "we were up to no good living in the country." He said, "My brother was big and my brother was mean. He lived to drink and he lived to fight." He said, "My brother hated God." He said he hated that my mother prayed for us. He said we'd sneak in and that old screen door would tell on us every time. How many of y'all remember those screen doors just screech wide open? He said we'd come in and mom would be in there praying, "Oh God, don't let Don and Chuck die and go to hell. Don't you let my boys die and drop off into the devil's hell. God, please save my boys." He said those prayers never, they wouldn't get away from us. He said it wasn't long I got saved, but my brother Chuck was mean. He said my brother Chuck had worked hard all week, had to work on Saturday, and he had one thing on his mind, going to the liquor store and buying him some liquor. He said when my brother got off work, he was headed into town, coming out of the country through them fields, headed downtown to that little liquor store. He said, but the local preacher was standing on the street corner on Chuck's side of the road. He was preaching, holding that Bible up in the air, preaching there's only one way to heaven, that's through the blood-sprinkled concourse of Calvary. He said, my brother got so mad, thought I'm going to knock his block off. He said, but I found myself going to the other side of the street. He said, as I tried to walk by that preacher who was preaching the cross of Jesus, he said, my feet seemed like they were cemented to the sidewalk, and I couldn't help but stand there. He said, I felt like God had said, put your hands up. He said, I stood there frozen in motion, hearing about this Jesus who loved me enough to die on a cross. Can I carry you to the cross this morning? The cross is not just a wooden figure with three nails, but it was donned with the lovely Son of God. John described him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Have you ever put your trash out by the curb and somebody takes it? What are you going to do with your sins? Your sins of lying and stealing and cheating and murder and malice and hatred and envy, all of that. I'm telling you, Don said my brother stood there and that preacher preached on how Christ died on that cross. Innocent blood was shed for the ungodly. That blood that began to flow out of the veins of the Son of God. He said, that preacher said, that's wonder-working blood and it washes away your sins. He said, my brother fell to his knees and said, God, I've been a horrible, awful sinner. God, if you will you please forgive me of all my sins and save me? I'm telling you, it's the preaching of the cross. You get a preacher in here to start preaching the cross, and I'm telling you, you'll make these deacons nervous. They'll be trying to figure out where in the world we're going to put everybody. Listen, it's not self-helps that we need. We don't need a tall, dark, good-looking preacher. Amen. You don't have to say amen right there. All right. Listen, I'm 39 and counting. All right. And, boy, that went over like a lead balloon right there. And but anyway, you know what you need? You need a preacher. There's something about being in a church service. I've said, hey, you going to church? Ah, not today. Well, you know this church or that church. You know what? There's something special about being in church, singing the songs of Zion. Now, I like caffeine. Can I get a witness out there? I'll drink me a Red Bull every now and then. I'll scoot by Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks, get me a cold brew, tell them to hit it with a double shot of espresso. I've been to Havana, Cuba. They set a little cup about that big and about that round on the table. I said, could I have two? They said, you don't need to. I said, bring it on. They said, try this. Man, I'm telling you, I like a little pick-me-up. But better than that Starbucks, better than that cold brew, that caffeinated coffee. There's something about gathering together with my brethren. There's something about singing together with the saints. There's something about hearing the songs of Zion, hearing this brother get up and begin to pray and say, God, you've done it before, and God, we need it some more, and God, we need you in this generation. There's something precious about seeing sister so-and-so invade that altar, begin to pray that God have mercy on her wayward husband, or wayward children. Whatever happened to the days of just believing that God can do anything? Is this a church that has a big God or a little God? Is this a church that serves the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Or is this the church that's got your head down and we're just not sure if God can do it again? I promise you, the same God that come walking in Snyder Turner's day, the same God that paid the bills for Calvary Children's Home, is the same God that's alive and can do it again. Somebody help me say amen right there. Aren't we having fun today? Good night. It's 12:01. Well, let me just begin to land this plane. The style of Paul's preaching was orchestrated by God. But then there's the scrutiny of Paul's preaching. Not everybody liked Paul's preaching. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Man's wisdom is foolishness. Listen, it's not foolish preaching, but to the world they say it's foolish. I remember preaching in Nicaragua, that same place. We would go out into the barrios and we would invite people. We had a little Jesus film. I was trying to remember the name of that many missionaries shared. And we'd show that Jesus film in Spanish on the side of a rock wall. And literally people would come and they'd sit there or stand there and they'd watch that. We'd testify and give an invitation for them to come and receive Christ. And I'm telling you, it was wonderful. One of the trips down to Nicaragua, we rented a taxi driver. I can't remember his name. It's in one of my sermon notes. But this taxi driver was big, he was bad, and he was mean. Had a big old mustache like that. Big old chubby cheeks. Had a belly like this. I mean, he had been to Burger King a few times. They didn't even have him down there. But he'd laugh at us and he'd mock us while we were preaching. He'd stand out there in the shadows when we get out of that and he'd just lean and smoke a big old cigar and he'd laugh and he'd mock us. Well, he did it again the second night. But about that third night, we noticed that he took that cigar and he snuffed it on the ground. I noticed that when we gave the invitation, that man got on the side of that bumper and he bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to save him. He come through the crowd and he was ashamed and embarrassed. He said, these men hired me and they paid me good money and I've laughed at them. I have mocked them. He said it, but he cried big old tears. He said, I asked God to forgive me. If these men could leave the comforts of the United States, come down here to a poverty-stricken world and tell us about the hope of eternal life, he said, God began to speak to my heart, and I've asked God to forgive me and save me, and he's a changed man today. Preaching gets the job done. Gets the job done. Well, man's wisdom is foolish and futile, but let me say, the subject of Paul's preaching. Look at verse 23. Any guessing what Paul preached on? He didn't say, well, it's Valentine's Day, let's just preach on love. No, he said, we preach Christ crucified. The gospel, according to Paul, was that Christ died for our sins. According to the scripture, he was buried and rose again the third day. The subject of Paul's preaching, it reveals Jesus Christ. When the cross is preached, church, there's only one man that stands out. There's only one man who died for sin, and it is the Son of God. When we preach the cross, only one gets the glory. Not the preacher, but the person that died on the cross. Can I tell you, he is a king, and that king got off of his throne in glory. Can you see the holy day when Jesus laid aside his garments of royalty and divinity? He condescended down into the womb of that virgin by the name of Mary. Jesus took upon a body. He was wrapped in mercy and covered with love. 9 months later, the glorious Son of God was born into this world, and he said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he tasted death for every man. That's the preaching of the cross. The subject, it reveals Christ and it reveals conversion. Verse 21, for it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Can I ask you, have you believed at the preaching of the cross? Have you believed that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross, shed innocent blood to wash away your sins? Have you believed that He was buried and rose again? How many of you could raise your hand? You're not ashamed that you have believed in the name of the Son of God. Isn't that good? If you've never believed, why don't you believe this morning? Isaac Watts said it like this: "Was it for crimes that I had done, He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day." Some of you need to remind your face, you're happy. Amen. We've been saved. We're not of them standing there in that political crowd saying, "Boy, I wish we'd get us another president. Boy, I wish our president would give us more." No, I'm not depending on them. I'm depending on Him. Could we stand all over the building with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? How many of you would just like to say, "Lord, thank You that somebody preached to me"? Aren't you glad for your preacher, whoever it was, that preached to you Jesus? Could you raise up your hand? Maybe he's in heaven. Maybe you just want to say, "Lord, thank You for that old-time preacher that preached to me." How many of you here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I know somebody that needs to be saved. Would you pray for me that I might go and preach to them Jesus, the cross?" How many of you know somebody? You say, "Boy, I'd like so-and-so to be saved." His hand's going up. I tell you what you do. If you're raising your hand, look this way. I want you to stop wherever the tracks are, grab you a few tracks, and tell them Jesus loves them. Read this track. Tell them how Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Maybe you're here this morning with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. You say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. If I died right now, I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Pray for me. I've never been saved." Anybody like that? God has spoken to me this morning, and I know I'm lost. I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior. Anybody like that all over the building? You know what we need to get back to? Jesus. You know what this church needs to do? We need to invade these altars and invade heaven and say, "God, we're not counting on ourselves to find us a preacher. We're counting on You. God, there's many needs in this church, and God, if this church is going to stay open, we need You." I wonder how many of you mamas and daddies would take it to heart and say, "We're coming this morning, and we're going to pray to that big God that preacher preached to, and we're going to lay some things on Him and ask God to do something wonderful in our midst." How about it, mamas and daddies? Would you lead the way? How many young people just believe there is a God in heaven who can do anything? Who would be the first to step out and come and pray? Maybe you just want to pray for some friends. Maybe you want to pray for your family. Maybe you want to pray for this family that's lost this loved one. Maybe you just want to come and say, "Lord, I have some struggles in my life." It'd be good just to crawl back close to Him again and say, "Lord, without You, we can do nothing." While these are coming, maybe you've got decisions to make about your future or your finances. Maybe some of you husbands and wives just need to come pray a hedge around your marriage and your family. Listen, it's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's time to do business with God. While these play the instruments, anyone else need to come? If you're here and you're lost and you've never been saved, I'm going to stand down front just a moment. And you'd like to come and say, "Preacher, I'd like to be saved. Would you pray for me?"
He did not despair. He started.
Isn't that good? While he just plays softly, they're still praying in the altar. Wouldn't it be a shame to come to church and not even speak to him? I want to challenge some of you, just bow your heads and thank him for his goodness. Y'all just thank him for being so good to you and your family. Every day, God wakes us up to experience his grace and glory. And I know that we're living in hard times, but I want you to know the best is yet to come. Heaven's going to fix it all. Amen. Them Democrats and Republicans, they don't have the answer. Amen. But I know a king who's coming back, and the government's going to sit on his shoulder. He's going to settle it all. Isn't that going to be good? While he plays, just softly, while these finish, maybe you'd just like to thank him. This way, hadn't it been good to be in the house of God? We don't want to get sued because that sign says worship. Amen. We want to worship. Amen. Business picks up when we worship the King of Kings. And I appreciate you being here. Good to have my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my mother, and my pop here. And I'm glad to meet you. Amen. And how many of y'all enjoyed church today? Wasn't the singing good? And the preaching was all right. But we're glad that you're here. And I don't know who's going to dismiss us. Anybody want to dismiss us? All right, go ahead, brother.